As you tuck into your toast or your cereal this morning, think about Ellen's breakfast. She is 61 and often she has just one meal a day, sacrificing lunch and dinner in order to feed the two kids in her care because that is all she can afford. That story is illustrated with some other case studies in a new report out today on poverty. Up to 3 million Australians are living in poverty. That's one in eight adults and one in six children. The Australian Council of Social Service and the University of New South Wales has worked on this analysis. ACOS's chief executive is Dr. Cassandra Goldie. She'll release the details of the report at the press club today and she joins us right now. Good morning and welcome.
Yes, good morning, Sabra.
How do you define poverty?
We have used the internationally very accepted measure, which is the number of people that are living on incomes that are 50%, half the median income in the country. And so at the moment, that's about $430 per week if you're a single person and just over $900 if you're a couple with a couple of children. And so that is the poverty line. And what one of the really disturbing findings of our research with the University of New South Wales is that the majority of those 3 million people are in deep poverty. So their incomes are on average $135 a week less than that very meagre amount of the poverty line itself.
There seem to be some factors that really play a part in people falling into that category. If you're on social security payments, especially the youth allowance or Newstart, and you're living in public housing, there are really high odds that you're going to end up in poverty. Why?
Well, look, if you're unemployed, we know that having paid work is a key factor. And so about 90% of people are in poverty if you're unemployed. I mean, that's a huge percentage. What that highlights, of course, is the inadequacy of our social security system. You know, ACOS's view, many people's view, business groups say that Newstart needs to be increased. And this report, again, highlights just how chronic that situation is now after, well, 27 years, Sabra, of sustained economic growth. We've been out celebrating it again. We've also been, you know, celebrating how we got through the global financial crisis, and there's no question that was important. But if we haven't dealt with these basic social protections in the country, what our research shows again is that this level of poverty in Australia is chronic and persistent, and it's above the average when it comes to comparable OECD countries.
I'm glad you've touched on that. Australia is close to average in that OECD ranking. The figures in your report for 2018 are pretty similar to what was in 2016. It seems to have plateaued. Mm. Why isn't this it doesn't seem to be a political priority for the major parties?
Well, look, the government's out of step. I mean, the major parties in this way, not treating the reduction of poverty as a top priority issue, are out of step with the community. I mean, look, I was on a panel last year with Brian Loughnane, the former president of the Liberal Party, and we were talking about the rise of populism in Australia. And we both agreed that one of the key issues is the fact that far too many people are really struggling. This is not an overblown picture here. This is why the University of New South Wales research, it's solid, it's rigorous. I mean, this has been prepared by one of the globally recognised professors, Peter Saunders, when it comes to the measurement of poverty. This is chronic, this situation. And so the political parties, they are out of step. Look, Sabra, they're out of step on marriage equality. We see where the government is at the moment with its, you know, very generous offers on tax cuts for people on higher incomes, corporations, and where it's currently sitting in not getting the kind of lift that it might want in the polls. And on federal budget night, we were inundated and we saw on social media so many people saying, look, I don't need my $10 tax cut. Use it to do something good. Use it to fix Newstart. Use it to cover public health costs. This is where the community mood is.
Some hardened hearts might think that's life. Some people end up poor. Mm. What do you say to them?
Well, we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world. I mean, we built a system of social security that has been widely lauded across other countries. Many other countries are working to build the kind of design of a social protection system, including social security, that we have. But what we've done over that all of that boom era, 25 years, as I say, of sustained economic growth, we've allowed our social security system to fall further and further behind in terms of its adequacy. And of course, we've done nothing really serious to tackle housing affordability, which of course is the big game changer. If you've covered your housing costs, your rate of poverty, your risk of poverty is much lower. It's logical. People listening to this would go, yeah, we know. If you've covered your housing costs, it's a very different picture for you.
Just really quickly, New Start, you're saying that this again boosts the case to change that. Mm. And again, both major political parties have done nothing about that, despite people saying for decades it needs to change.
Mm. Well, look, the opposition has committed to review. We say that's not enough. I mean, we've got the governments right at the moment, the government and the opposition in a debate about how generous the tax cut should be for small business. We've had the federal government pass under $144 billion in personal income tax cuts for people, including those on higher income. This is out of step with what the community wants to see. Deloitte Access Economic did the costings on it. It's affordable, Sabra. I mean, we're underspending now on Social Security for a range of reasons. This is the time for the government to move, and we hope they're listening.
Cassandra Goldie, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Thank you.